I'm glad that on this Labor Day weekend, you have chosen to worship with us. I know there's several people missing doing family activities or out of town, and you'll just have to remind them how great a sermon they missed. They can tune in online if they want, but thought this was comical. After years of scrimping and saving, a husband told his wife the good news. "Honey, we have finally saved enough money to buy what we started saving for in 1979. "You mean a brand new Cadillac?" she asked eagerly. "No," said the husband, "a 1979 Cadillac." I want to make a proposition this morning. This kind of comes off of last week. The money that you're carrying today does not belong to you. If you were to walk up to someone today, maybe at the restaurant you're going to go to eat lunch, or a grocery store, or someone maybe you work with, go to work Tuesday. If you walked up and said, "Did you know the money you have, it doesn't belong to you?" They would probably look at you peculiarly, and they might think you think they've stolen the money that they have, and that you're accusing them because they have something that doesn't belong to them. But that's what Jesus taught us in the parable that we looked at last week, that parable of the talents, that God is the owner, and we are His servants, entrusted with certain things, and we are called to manage that to the best of our abilities. It's atypical. It's counterintuitive. It goes against the grain of our culture to think that what I have does not belong to me. That God is the owner, and I just manage what is God's. That's atypical thinking. That can be hard to get through our thick skull sometimes and to our brain and connect to our heart the truth of God's Word, that this is true. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." And if you were to scour the pages of the Bible, there are at least 50 passages of Scripture that almost state the exact same thing. That this is something that God wants us to understand and to come to grips with. And so all the money that's in your billfold or your purse right now, all the money that's in your savings account, your checking account, your 401k, your retirement savings, maybe what was given to you in a will, is God's. Every single time, over and over again, all that we know and understand is God's. And so the next time you look at your bank account, there should be some accountability there. Next time you look at your bank account, there should be some tension to know, this is what God has entrusted to me, and so what am I going to do about it? Typically, the average person will say, "It is my money. I will do with it what I want. No one else will tell me otherwise. Case closed." But we know, looking at the parable of the talents last week, that Jesus, even those who lived 2,000 years ago, they had this same struggle. And Jesus taught that parable, that God is the owner and we are entrusted as His servants. I want to do an exercise together this morning. I just want you to make a fist like this, both hands in front of you. We're not going to punch each other this morning, so mind your manners, all right? Be good little boys and girls. I want to torture you this morning. Here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, for an undetermined amount of time, only known to me, you're going to squeeze your fists as tightly as you possibly humanly can. Okay? I had someone in the first service say that made their arthritis flare up, so I apologized for that, and I apologize again. If you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to. But we're going to do this together as a group, okay? So on the count of three, you're just going to squeeze as hard as you can. 3, 2, 1, squeeze. Just as hard as you can. Just white knuckle it. Keep going. Don't give up on me, all right? The fingers are feeling funny, right? The forearm's starting to tighten up. It's going to get into your bicep before long. I see the sweat on the brow. Don't punch anybody. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it as hard as you can. Just squeeze. Ladies with long fingernails, I'm really sorry for this. But just squeeze, squeeze. Just keep going. We're going to be there in a minute. It'll be less than a minute. But just keep going, keep going. Just squeeze those fingers. Now, I'm going to count down from three here in a few seconds, and I just want you to loosen the grip, but don't unravel your fingers from your fist, all right? Keep going. I lied. Keep going. Keep going. You think I torture you most Sundays. I'm really doing it now. All right, three, two, one. Just loosen the grip. Now try slowly to pull your fingers apart. That kind of hurts. Now, all the way, just release them as fast as you can all the way. Now, that feels good. Forearms, the tenseness went away. Kind of wiggle the fingers. There's not a more peaceful feeling if you've made a clenched fist for maybe 45 seconds to let that and release that, right? And there's no greater peace than when we live our lives with open hands. That when we live our lives in the arena of our finances, in what God blesses us with, and we live life with a clenched fist, and we're in pain, it hurts, and no longer are we over our money, but our money's owning us, and well, it simply just makes life hard. God asks us to release that clenched fist, and before Him have open hands, and there's peace and freedom in that. Because no longer does your money own you, but you own your money. And you're able to be a manager of what God has blessed you in a much better way. Today we're going to talk about another arena of life in being atypical, and that is being atypical in our generosity. Being atypical, generous people. That's what God wants of us as Christians. We're going to look at an atypical story really this morning. This is a story often preached near Easter because it happens in Matthew chapter 21. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. This in Matthew chapter 21 is the triumphal entry. It's going to teach us some practical principles about atypical generosity this morning that you've probably never really thought of. And I hadn't either until I really started to look into this over the last couple of weeks. This is also known as Palm Sunday. This occurs 5 days before the crucifixion of Jesus. And in Matthew 21, the story starts in verse 1 like this. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." So he picks out a couple of disciples, says, "Go to the village ahead. There will be a donkey and little donkey. And they're going to be tied up to a post, and you just untie them and bring them back to me." I'd like to get into the minds of those disciples that he selected to go. As they were walking, you think they were wondering, well, what's he going to do this time? And, well, what if we get caught? What if the farmer sees us and he slingshots us? They didn't have guns then. He gets out his slingshot like David. I don't know what he would do, chase after him with some kind of farming instrument. But what might happen? But surely Jesus wouldn't put us in harm's way. And so they go, simple instructions. And a lot of times we only think of there was just a donkey, but there was a big donkey and there was a little donkey. And they untied them and they brought them to Jesus. And then in verse 5, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. On the surface, you may not pick up on this, but I want to unpack this morning four insights that lead us to atypical generosity. The first is this: it's absurd that God asks us for anything. The God of the universe asks of us, is this an absurd thought? God, who has everything under His authority, calls for His disciples to bring donkeys. A big donkey and a little donkey. He could have went poof and just created His own donkey right there on the spot. Just done it Himself. It could have been like an Eddie Murphy donkey, you know. You know, he could have been like, "That's right, fool, I'm a talking donkey, and I got the Son of God on my back." He could have done whatever he wanted to do, yet he chose to include someone else. Jesus asked to borrow something that he had already created. And I just think that God had already touched the heart of Donkey Guy We don't know his name. Just a village. We don't even know where he's from. Go to the nearest village. There there'll be two donkeys tied up. Go there, get them, bring them back. I feel that God had already touched the heart. An atypical generosity from this guy to go ahead and more than likely tie the donkeys up. Perhaps they were out in the pasture grazing. This man felt something from God. He brings them in so the disciples aren't chasing them around the pasture. And we know how donkeys can be, stubborn, and ties them to the post, being generous. And that's exactly what God does with us. He wants to include you. He wants to use you. Whatever your donkey might be, God says, let me use it. I want to include you. And think of all the effort and frustration that God has to go through to do that. Think about raising kids. You know at a point they need to start learning life lessons. So they need to learn how to make their bed. They need to learn how to clean their room. They need to learn to mow the yard, take out the trash, drive a car, and more responsibilities happen as they get older. Now, as a parent, teaching them to mow the yard, make their bed, take out the trash, and everything else, there's moments where that can be highly frustrating, right? You just can't make your bed. You just can't mow a straight line in the yard and not run over the tree that I just planted. And we get frustrated and aggravated. But we know they need to learn how to do that. God, he could just take care of everything on his own. Simple as that. But he chooses to use us. He chooses to include us. And so, that's also in our generosity. When God says, can I use your donkey? Our response should be, Jesus, you can use my donkey. After all, it's your donkey. And I don't know what your donkey, your resource that God has blessed you with, that God wants to use. But perhaps you should be open to allowing God to use your donkey. It's also absurd that Jesus rides into town on the generosity of ordinary people. Jesus could have entered Jerusalem that one last time with pomp and circumstance, a ticker tape parade, any manner. I had a Bible college professor, Dr. Billy Jones. He was from Virginia and he had a lot of weird sayings. He was a southerner and just kind of off his rocker at times, it seemed like. He said he thinks in heaven that every preacher will be assigned a deacon in a black Cadillac to escort them around. So Jesus could have gotten a black Cadillac with a deacon and been taken in. But that's not what he chose. He chose a humble entrance. And he came in on the back of a donkey from Donkey Guy that nobody knew. Didn't know his name. We don't really know the place he was from. But Jesus rode into that town on the back of generosity from an ordinary person. And often when you hear it brought up about giving and being generous, our minds track to people who are wealthy. Well, philanthropists and people that are wealthy, man, they can really do lots of things for lots of causes and do amazing things because they have lots of wealth. God uses the ordinary person to be generous. God can give and use your resources that he has blessed you with to manage to do great things. I've once heard it said, if Jesus came on a donkey, maybe I need to get off of my high horse. And sometimes we kind of think, well, maybe I'm a little bit too good and I've done this all myself. But it's God's. It's his resources. It says the whole city was stirred when Jesus came in to the town, to the city of Jerusalem. People were shouting Hosanna. They were throwing palm branches on the ground. They were going crazy. The religious leaders were off in the distance, mulling it over that what are we going to do now? The people, we might have a riot on our hands if we try to do something opposite of what these people believe. And everything was going crazy. Everybody was excited. And I think that's what God wants to do in Pana. I think that's what he wants to do through our church. He wants to ride in on the back of generosity of ordinary people. That God can use you, as ordinary as you think you are, he can use your donkey. He can use your resources to stir our community and to make Jesus known. But we got to choose to do it. We might ask, well, how can we reach people and how can we stir our community? You know, preaching, yeah, that can play a role. Each and every one of us living out our Christian faith and being like Jesus, not just while we're at church, but whenever we're living life, yes, certainly. But it also happens with ordinary, generous people. God will bless that. Anita Sharp, it's a small-known story. It's very funny. She was a very good pet owner. She had a dog that she would walk every morning in the town park. And she would carry along the little plastic bag to take care of things. She did what she was supposed to. One day, she was finishing her walk. She was headed back home. And a crook jumped out from behind a bush, knocked her to the ground, took the bag, and ran off. She lay there in pain. She called the police. They came. She had broken her arm. But her spirits were good, and she told the police, "I just have one regret. And they said, "Well, what's that?" "I just wish I'd had more to give him." And that's where we find ourselves. Being atypically generous. And you just say, "Well, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't have much to give." But God can use it. And He wants to use it. And He can make real life change happen, not only in your life, but for others as well. Thirdly, it's absurd that our generosity writes us into the story of God. Conversely, greed will write us out of the story of God. But generosity writes us in to the story of God. Donkey Guy was written into the story of God. Did he know that that would happen? He made the Bible. We don't know his name, but he was written into the story of God. Why? Because small acts of responsiveness write us into the story of God. And if we're unwilling, if we live with clenched fists and we're not responsive to God's call on us to be generous, then we won't play a role in God's story. You just won't. But if you come before God with open hands and generosity that's atypical, maybe to people in your family, to people you work with, maybe your neighbors and some friends, if we come before God with open hands, atypical generosity, then you're written into the story of God. A widow had a mite. We never knew her name. A little boy had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and there were thousands of hungry people, and the sun was setting. We don't know who he was. An affluent man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea had an empty tomb that he allowed Jesus to borrow. And there are many others in Scripture. When they were responsive in acts of generosity, they were written into the story of God. And you might say, "Well, there's no Bible being written today." Oh, well, there's not. But your story counts. You can be written into the story of God because of your generosity. God wants to invite you to be a part of His story and to help change lives. 500 years before Jesus got on those borrowed donkeys and rode into Jerusalem, Zechariah prophesied that this would come to be. It was already in God's plan that a donkey guy was going to be generous and give those donkeys for Jesus to use to do an incredible thing. And people's lives were changed because of it. And I just wonder what God's story is, how it's going to play out in your life and in my life if I choose to be generous, to be atypical in this part of my life, that God can do some great things and people's lives can be changed for the better. And just think, Donkey Guy, he kind of had some bragging rights. You know, maybe he told his kids, "You know, kids, one day those disciples, they came and they got big donkey and little donkey, and it took Jesus, the Son of God, into Jerusalem." And maybe his kids told his grandkids about what his grandfather had done, and his life was a part of the story of God. And that can be true for you as well. Lastly, it's absurd that he got the donkeys back. Now, you might be wondering, wait a minute, where's that in the story? It's not necessarily there, but I want to prove a point. Just stick with me for a moment. As Jesus went from the Mount of Olives down into the Kidron Valley to the point where he would have entered the city of Jerusalem, it was about a 20-minute walk. Most scholars believe the village where the donkeys came from maybe wouldn't have been much further from that. As Jesus made his way into the city of Jerusalem, it's in my mind that this donkey guy knew these disciples were coming and that he was going to follow and to see what exactly was going to happen with his donkeys and what this was all about. And as Jesus entered into the city through this way, the people were going nuts. They were cheering. They were shouting, "Hosanna to God in the highest." And Donkey Guy stood at a distance watching everything that had happened. And it tells us that Jesus got off the donkeys. And he didn't need them anymore. It was the donkeys weren't being crucified. It was Christ. And I could just see Donkey Guy then retrieving his donkeys and going home, putting them in the stable, going in the house, just grinning from ear to ear, telling his wife about what had happened and how the city of Jerusalem was just upside down. The people are so excited, and the donkeys are doing fine. They're out. They're worn out from all the excitement, but they're eating some hay and getting some rest. And I just can't believe what happened. And why would I believe this? Why would I think that this happened? I believe it because if you decide to get absurd and be generous, you're going to get it back. I didn't make that up. The Bible tells us this. The Bible says, "Whoever sows generously reaps generously." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now, I'm not putting out there this idea that if you give $100, eventually $100 will come back. But when you reap generously, you will be blessed in return. Maybe you being generous, you'll see someone else's life changed. And isn't that worth it? I want to get real serious as we close this morning. The Pain of Christian Church would not exist if not for atypically generous people. If only typically generous people helped start this church and get it going, it would have failed. But if it were not for atypical generous people that gave absurdly but knew it was God's, that's why we sit here today. That's why this church exists, to glorify God and to serve in His kingdom. And so here we sit today, having to make the decision, am I going to continue that legacy? Am I going to continue to be an atypically generous person that will do things in the name of God that will further His kingdom? And honestly, your finances play a huge role in that. They just do. And God has blessed you with a donkey. Whatever that is, if God asks, "Can I use your donkey?" would you have a clenched fist or an open hand and say, "It's not even mine. Use it." Use it to glorify your kingdom and to save those who need to be saved. The first step in this is to be intentional. Rather than sporadic, be intentional, saying, "You know what? This is what I'm going to give, when I'm going to give it." Bottom line, nothing else is going to trump it. That's what it'll be. I will give this on this time, and that's what it'll be. And if you start to be intentional, you'll start to see the blessings. And you'll see transformation in this church. You will see our community stirred. And Jesus' name will be spread. That's my challenge this morning. I think in heaven today, there are atypically generous people from this church who are having a conversation with the Lord. And Jesus isn't complimenting them on their good golf game. He's not saying, "Man, you had a cool car, a really sweet house." Rather, I think Jesus is thanking them for being atypically generous while they were on this earth and managing, being a servant of the owner, God, and doing it in a way that honored God first. So choosing to be atypically generous, it can be tough to get that through our minds and connect it to our hearts and believe the truth of God's Word, but that's what God wants for you. He wants to write you into His story. And I hope you choose to live life with an open hand, not a clenched fist. And your life will be a part of God's story, reaching people. And this morning, we've talked about having a stirred heart, and we're going to worship together. And Christ went to that cross, as we talked about what he had did on that donkey. He rode into Jerusalem on your behalf. He went into the teeth of those who hated him on behalf of you and for me. And he endured a trial. He endured a beating almost to the point of death. And he endured the cross. But 3 days later, he arose from the dead and gave us an eternal promise, an eternal hope, that we too, when we're found in Christ, can raise from the dead as well. And so this morning, we give the invitation, if you haven't chose to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to make that decision this morning, to not put that off. And like I always say, this doesn't have to be decided at 11:25 on a Sunday morning. If you want to have that conversation anytime, let's have it. So let's stand this morning, and let's worship together in this song.